Breeze, 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, perspective, and your views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We have another great show for you this morning. Well, we're done with Thanksgiving. Hope you all are stuffed. Christmas is fast approaching. This morning, my guest will talk about a stage performance fit for the Christmas holiday. I love Christmas time, and I'm sure many of you do as well. So this morning, we're gearing up for Christmas on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland. Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Joining me this morning is my friend, Vicki L. Evans. Vicki Evans is an Amazon.com best-selling author, an award-winning stage play director, and a domestic violence advocate. As an advocate, she works feverishly to raise awareness to the challenges domestic violence victims face. She is the president of Soaring High Productions, a talent promotion agency whose dual mission is to provide step-by-step self-publishing assistance and consulting for aspiring authors and poets, and to provide opportunities for aspiring performing artists, playwrights, and producers to display their talents via theatrical productions. Also joining me this morning is national recording artist Cassandra O'Neill, whose CD, Life Songs, can be heard over radio throughout the country. She's just released her second album called It's Not About Me. Cassandra O'Neill is a minister, is a native to Charlotte, and has been a featured artist for Bishop Larry Trotter, Jason Nelson, Vashawn Mitchell, James Fortune, and many others. I am so excited these ladies are here with me this morning. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you once again for having us. We are always excited about being on your show. You are our favorite.
Wow.
In the whole entire Charlotte. You are our favorite.
I am so honored. I don't know. Are you going to take me out to breakfast since? I mean, after this huge Thanksgiving meal that we've enjoyed, I can appreciate some pancakes and some eggs and some sausage.
Well, since I gave you such great props, you should take us out to breakfast.
That's a good one.
Listen, I'm broke. I'm sorry. Anyway, thank you so much for coming in to talk about your latest project. I'm excited for you ladies because you always are at hard work with one project or the other. I don't know how you do it, where the energy comes from. Talk a little bit about what is going on with Soaring High Productions before we get into the stage play, The Gift.
Well, Soaring High Productions, our main goal is to reach out to the community and always have important messages that will touch their hearts. And so we're always looking for avenues to bring important messages to the community. Right now we're talking about the Christmas season. Yeah. And when we talk about the Christmas season, we're talking about charitable events and love and hospitality. And so we're just on this journey to make the world a better place. That's what Soaring High Productions is all about.
Absolutely. Well, you have a dual mission, providing step-by-step self-publishing assistance, consulting. And Cassandra, we're going to get to your talents in a minute because I don't know if I'm going to ask you to sing this morning because you have a real gift in those vocals chords of yours. I don't know. But anyway, you provide opportunities for aspiring performing artists, playwrights, and producers. Talk about the experience of giving folks an opportunity to let their talents shine.
You know what, Ron? I've taken on a different title. I call myself a creative strategist.
A strategist.
I help individuals find their creativity, whether it be theater, whether it be being an author, if they want to write a book. I myself am an author, so I believe that I have the tools to plant certain types of gifts inside of folks. If they want to write a book, because your life is a book, I can instruct instruct them how to do that. If you want to be on stage, I can instruct them how to do that. If you want to be a playwright, I've been in this business for a while. In fact, I'm getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. I'm just giving myself a little plug right there. But my mission is to be able to inspire, encourage, and to allow folks to be creative and give them the platform to do that, whether mm-hmm. it be on stage or whether it be in the form of a literary book. Mm-hmm. And so that's who we are.
Now, you've worked with Cassandra, and Cassandra, you might want to chime in on this. You've worked with Cassandra for a while now. When you have a talent like Cassandra, what do you do to nurture that talent?
Well, talent, when you talk about, I want to use the word not talent when I talk about Cassandra. I want to talk about gift. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times a gift is already on the inside of you.
Yeah.
And you just need someone to come along to nurture it or to stir it up. And so therefore, I'm the one that feel that I'm very fortunate enough to cross paths with Cassandra. And the thing about it, when someone has a gift, it can lay dormant. You can call them at any time. Cassandra is my go-to girl. I can go to her anytime, and I know that she'll be ready because she got the gift.
Yeah, well, she not only has a gift in song, she also has a gift in driving because she beat you here this morning.
I don't know how she did that either. You're going to give me a ticket.
Cassandra, talk a little bit about the talents that you have. I mean, obviously, you're on your third album now.
You're correct, second.
Okay, second album. And you are, again, you are gifted in terms of your vocal cords and in terms of just inspiring people in terms of your songs. What is it that moves you? Why are you so, why do you have the proclivity to be involved in this industry?
In the musical theater.
The musical and theater.
Well, the music, like I shared with you last time, I've been singing since I was six. Mm-hmm. So I think that was just a given for me. Sister Vicky came along, and that's when I discovered that I actually had talent mm-hmm. for acting. She pulled it out. She pulled it out. Because I could give her, you know, what I had, and she'd say, give me more, mm-hmm. give me more. Mm-hmm. And so I discovered that. I discovered how to get into the role, that you're not really acting. You're being you. But with a little more emotion. You're selling a product, and it's got to be convincing that you are this person that you're portraying, so that you can reach those people who may be going through what this character is, or you're trying to get that message to them that's going to.
Now, but in terms of self-esteem issues, I mean, if someone is enormously talented and they may have some inkling that they have some talent, how do you bring it out? What do you do to bring that talent out?
Well, for me, I think I have an eye. I'm going to say eagle eye mm-hmm. when it comes to talent or when it comes to a gift. And if you zero in on that, I always ask for more. And she brought up a good point. A lot of times when directors are preparing for a stage play, they are really, really engaged in the script. Not me. Mm-hmm. I'm engaged in emotion mm-hmm. because I believe that if people feel your emotion, if they feel your heart, then you got them. Even if you don't adhere to the script, you get their emotion, if you get their attention, whatever that subject matter is, and then you got them. And so I go for the emotion. I just told one of my actors, she's new, yesterday. I said, she's so caught up in the script. Don't do that. Give me the emotion. The script has already been written, and I know how it's supposed to go. But the thing is, I want you to touch the people's heart, and that's what I'm all about.
Right. Now, you've been able to put on a number of stage plays, including the award-winning A Change Is Gonna Come. What impact do you think you're having on these aspiring artists, particularly the former cast members of your stage plays?
Well, I hope that it would inspire them to go further. Okay, I'm just going to put it out there. We're not going to even play with it. My goal I want to go to Broadway. And mm-hmm. I mean, not just to be seen, because I know that I have a message mm-hmm. that needs to be heard and seen. And so I'm inspiring them to go as far as they can go. You know, I came to Charlotte on a mission. You know, I didn't even know anyone here when I came. Only one person, I should say that. I know her, but she lived in a surrounding area. But since I've been here, I really, and I don't say this as a boast, I see the plants, I see the flowers, I see the trees that are sprouting up in this area. Now, I may not be on the platform of the Tyler Perrys of this world, but I do know that I am making a difference.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I thank God for that. Yeah, I really do.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, Cassandra, what inspires you at this point?
I'm going to say it's the present state of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I want to leave a legacy. I want to do what God has called me to do.
Yeah.
I want to make a difference. So it's having the opportunity to make a change
mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
inspires me. So
yeah.
Whether that comes through my songwriting or singing ministry or acting ministry, I want to be able to leave a legacy and say that I have made a difference. I can say this for the productions that I've been in with Sister Vicky. The message is to call the people to do something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a feel good, just a feel good. Oh, that was so great. It's what can I do now?
Right.
And so I'm sure she's going to talk about the play itself, the gift, and you'll begin to ask yourself that, oh my, so what can I do now?
Right, right, right. Now, Vicky, talk a little bit about the challenges upcoming performance face when grappling with a crowded field. I mean, there's a lot of folks out there, and stage plays are happening all over the country in every city, but there are hugely talented people like the Denzels who are literally bottlenecking that gateway to stardom. How do you deal with that with your performers?
Well, first of all, I remain focused on what my goal is. You know, there's room for us out here. Before Tyler Perry came along,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, no one knew about him.
Yeah.
You know, and he had to go through certain steps to get positioned as well.
Right.
And so there's a journey for me. There's a journey for all of us, but there's also room for all of us. I don't look at competition as, I look at it in a different way. I look at competition as, okay, you have a gift, I have a gift, and who's going to get there first? I don't really care about that. As long as I get there, I do not care who gets there first, because I know that I have been divinely called to do what I have to do. And so no matter what happens, and you know, there is competition. People get jealous and they try to push you out of the box.
Uh-oh.
But let me tell you something. I'm going to get where I need to go because I am unstoppable.
Amen. Yes. Well, you know, when you come here to the studio, there's at least one question that I'm going to pose that's going to get you in a little bit of trouble.
Uh-oh.
Let's talk about the city of Charlotte. Talk about the industry. You mentioned Tyler Perry, as well as the performing arts centers that are located in town. How helpful has these entities been in terms of getting you to showcase local talent, encouraging local talent? Have they provided any resources to you, as well as other playwrights in town?
I believe that day is going to come, but for me, my journey is different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a trailblazer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I break ground. That's my call. And so therefore, I come in. You know, I can tell a playwright how to perform, produce a play with just a small budget.
Yeah.
I can tell them that. I can tell them because I've been there. I've had zero budget
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
see my production come into being. So in order for me to be able to do that, I have to go through a certain path. So if the doors were open for me, if the theater was open for me, if all those doors were already open, I would not have the testimony that I have. And I couldn't bring those who are coming behind me along with me because I would have, you know, I would already had the opportunities afforded for me.
But
a trailblazer.
But the question is there any entities in town that are preventing folks like yourself from being able to showcase these local talents? Again, these performing arts centers, I mean, these huge places. We have a number of places here where plays are being performed,
right.
And I know the cost has to be exorbitant. So my question is, are they opening doors for folks like yourself?
Well, this industry is a little different. If you don't pave your own way, it's all about the money. And
yeah.
So therefore, a lot of times, no. I'm going to say the answer is absolutely not.
So what could we do to get those doors open for folks like yourself?
Well, first of all, you could talk about us. You could, you know, the thing about this industry as well, I mean, it is overcrowded. But if we had people who would recognize that we have a gift, we have a message. We're not just out here. There are some of us out here who are pioneers. We're out here advocating for certain things. And so if you would just get by us, get back us, stand by our side, you know.
And that goes for the city of Charlotte as well.
Charlotte, it's a hard industry. I am not going to lie to you. This is a hard place. I came from the D.C. area, and it's overloaded as well. But the audience tend to gravitate more to the arts than here. But, you know, I see from the time that I came here in 2009, until this very moment, I see growth.
Yeah.
I see a lot of growth in this area.
There is. And for me, again, with the kinds of talents that you're showcasing, it just seems to me that there should be some resources, some available, some grants, some money somewhere to be able to help with your production. That's just my personal opinion, obviously.
And I really hope that will come into being very soon. I hope that the city of Charlotte will understand the importance of the arts and that we are making an impact in our world. I said on Sunday when I went to St. Luke that the church is a formalized platform to produce and to for showcase a sermon, but a play can do it from a different aspect, from with a different audience.
Absolutely. So let's get into The Gift. Tell us about your new stage production.
Wow. I want to say, first of all, The Gift, you know, a lot of people think it's new, but it's not new. I wrote it over 20-some years ago, and this will be the second time that it has been performed. Okay. I actually wrote The Gift before I wrote A Change Is Gonna Come.
Okay, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I did. But A Change Is Gonna Come has such a powerful message that was needed at the time, so we put that into production first. But The Gift is a powerful, good Samaritan story, and the Christmas season is the best time, I think, to showcase this wonderful play. It's about a bishop who is mugged en route to a Christmas revival, and as he is en route to this Christmas revival, some church folks from the same church that had invited him, they had never seen him before, are passing through that same area.
Okay.
And he asked them for assistance, and they turned him down.
Wow.
Yet, there were some homeless folks who took him in. They fed him. They nurtured him. They gave him a place to sleep.
Wow.
And so our whole message is, a lot of times we judge those who are less fortunate than us, and they have sometimes more love than those we expect love from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, is there a particular incident that occurred in your life that inspired this play?
Not really. But even in being here in Charlotte, Charlotte has been a very different journey for me, because I came here to do plays full time.
Yeah.
When I was in D.C., I had a corporate job, and so therefore this was my launching pad. So it will always be special to me. But even I have gone through some wilderness experiences here in Charlotte. So some of the things that even happens in this play, I've had people to turn their backs on me that I expected to be with me.
Yeah.
You know, I've had that experience, and you will see that in the play. Sometimes those you expect to be there for you, that tell you, I got your back no matter what.
Yeah.
When you really get into the crunch time, it is some stranger that you never even imagine who comes to your rescue.
Cassandra, what part do you play?
I actually play, and to me, I think this is a challenging role, but I play Mother Jackson. She is the mother of the church, busybody, gossiping woman. Uh-oh. Well, I take that back because, see, Mother Jackson, she don't gossip. She shares. That's what she
does. You know, church folk like to share. That's the truth. I'm like, you go ahead. Go ahead.
So I say it's a challenging role for me because unlike Betty Parker, who I think close in age, you know, I could just really be me. Uh-huh. Now I have to play an older person.
Yeah.
And it's challenging because I can't laugh at myself. Sometimes I do stuff and I think, God, that's funny. I can't stand in character. That's what I'm trying to say. Uh-huh. But I thank Vicky for giving me a call and giving me the opportunity. Again, it helps me to hone up on my acting skills.
So you are immersed in this role, in this particular role?
I think so.
Yeah.
I know last night I caught myself standing in front of the mirror. I'm trying to get the facial expressions right and get the body language right so that people actually have to say, they can't look at me and say, that's Cassandra O'Neill. They're like, who is that?
Yeah. Now, Vicky, the plot twist in The Gift seems to suggest that some church folk could be a little selfish, a little self-serving, stubborn in certain aspects. And at the same time, they are praising the Lord. And that's a contradiction. Talk a little bit about that.
Oh, we have some stereotypes in this. I'm serious.
I'm sorry. It might be far beyond stereotype because you know how we can get.
Yeah. But we really going to show you some church folks. And we really go on a journey here to show you just how you can get absorbed in that world.
Yeah, yeah.
Get so absorbed in that world that you forget what the real mission of being a Christian is all about. And so we really bring that to light from the Mother Jackson gossiping church folks. So we have to go to that journey first to establish the foundation of what a church folk look like. Mm-hmm. And even from the, we have a someone who's very flamboyant female, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A lot of people are single these days, and where were we told to go to find a husband?
Go to church, you want a husband?
Go to church.
I'll
go to the club, but I don't, you know, if I see some church folk in club, I'm telling pastor.
Well, you think they learn to be the husband?
That's true. I've been wondering about why folks are doing certain things on that stage or on the pulpit because they can dance up there. So I'm sorry. No. But, you know, interesting, as I was reading some information about it, it reminded me, I'm rewriting a piece on my blog, and it's entitled The Difference Between Deeply Spiritual People and Church Folk. And, of course, it's available on my, you don't mind if I plug my own blog. www.ronhollins.blogspot.com. Anyway, that's available now. And just as an example, deeply spiritual people exude peace and serenity. Whenever you converse with deeply spiritual people, they don't see the world through narrow prisms defined by religious doctrine and dogma, but as it should be, as it can be. That's why deeply spiritual people are perhaps the most optimistic and hopeful. Church folk will carry Bibles under their arms and malice in their hearts. Church folk will speak in tongues and shout to the Lord in one instance and hurl a bunch of cuss words in another. Church folk will smile, laugh, and praise God during church, but when they get home, raise all kind of hell. Yeah. Respond to that.
Oh, wow.
I mean, what is it? You just, wow, on point.
I'm just
on point.
But in their defense, in the end, the message that comes forth, it shines the light on them to show them that there is a real purpose for what we do here.
So it
brings this bridge together. It really does, mm-hmm. In the end. It's a powerful message because it shows you how we are supposed to love one another.
Yeah.
And those that you say are not sisters and brothers, those folks on the street, those are our sisters and brothers, yes, also.
And they're the most humble. Some can be a little off-putting, but there are some humble folks out
right.
there who will give of their heart.
Right.
And they will take their shirt off their back if they had it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we show that. And not only do we show that, we show I wrote an article years ago called Church Hurt,
mm-hmm.
and how people who have gotten hurt inside the church who had left and went outside. And so one of the characters was a member of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows how that person was ostracized. And now they're being brought back into the fold. So, I mean, it's a powerful play. I don't even know how to tell you, and I can't tell you where I even got the concept at. I just think that one day I sat down and I said, you know, there got to be a better way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, there has to be a better way to bring the message of love. And what better time to do it than Christmas time?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how you navigate the stereotypes. Because, you know, church folk, we can get offended real quick.
But you know what? In the end, it is so powerful. It is so powerful that you don't offend.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't offend.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you see the love, you see the purpose, you see the whole thing comes together, because at the end of the day, Ron, it's all about love.
Yeah,
I sound like an Earth, Wind, and Fire song right there, but you know, it's all about love. It's all about love.
All right, we have just a couple of minutes left in the show. Take us through the process of writing a script to the opening curtain.
Well, first of all, I have to at this point pause and say I've been so blessed, because the things that God has given me has given me the opportunity to bring it to the stage and to see it come into being. When I'm writing, I'm in a zone, Ron. I'm mm-hmm. telling you, I am in a zone. When I get the idea, from the time I get the idea to the time that it gets on paper, I'm inspired, you know, and I can see. Even in the auditions, she's been to a couple of my auditions, I can see that person.
Yeah.
I can see, you know, I know exactly what I want. And I have the opportunity to be the playwright, the director, the producer. So I have to be able to wear all those hats. And it's not easy.
Yeah.
Because you have to be able to remove yourself from the writing to the directorial mode to the producing mode. So I'm doing all of that. For real.
Right.
It's not an easy process, but it's a rewarding process.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, I do want to back up one day and just be the producer. And
that day is coming.
Collect the check, you know. But right now, I think there's a purpose for my journey.
Right.
So I take it, I see it, and then it come to being.
Well, we have just 2 minutes left in the show. Talk about your cast real quick.
Okay. First of all, I want to give a shout out to St. Luke Missionary Baptist Church.
My old home church, by the way. I was a member there at one point.
Okay. And Pastor Clifford Matthews.
Yeah, yeah.
I thank him for giving me the opportunity to do this. I really do, because he believed in me. Not only did he believe in me, it came into being DJ Boyd. He believed in me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I didn't know this person before this opportunity was afforded to me.
Right,
and
right.
He sought me out. And so I am thankful for that. I am thankful. So we have a wonderful sponsor. I'm going to call them a sponsor. We're collaborating on this. It's a Christmas musicale.
Right, right.
So it's not just a change is going to come. There's music, there's dancing, there's singing. There's a whole gamut of things that's going to occur on that night. So come out and see that.
Absolutely.
The cast is unique. I'm going to say it like that.
Well, Cassandra, we have about 30 seconds. Your latest project, real quick.
We are giving all glory to God.
Amen.
It's called It's Not About Me.
Hold on. Amen.
That's a church folk right there. But the new project is called It's Not About Me. Our goal is to release it in January of 2014.
Okay.
All I can say, if you like the first one, you're going to love the second.
Absolutely. The curtains will open for the gift on December 15th at the St. Luke Missionary Baptist Church, again, where I was a former member. So what time is the play?
The play is at 6 o'clock p.m., and I want to say, if you want more information about the play, we also have advertising opportunities. Go to my website, www.forgiven2.com. That's www.forgiven2.com.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for coming in this morning to talk about the gift. I am excited for you, and I will probably make an appearance.
Yay!
Absolutely.
That'd be great.
And no, it's no probably. I'm coming.
Good.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, folks. I certainly appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I want to again thank playwright and director Vicki L. Evans and songstress Cassandra O'Neill for dropping by the studio to talk about their latest stage production, The Gift. For more information about tickets to see what is sure to be a great performance, log on to www.forgiven2.com. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com. or ronholland25@yahoo.com. Also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. This show will be available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.